No matter if points are gained or points are lost, there will be much to discuss. For analysis regarding tonight's Winnipeg Jets game, here are Dave Manouk, Ezra Ginsberg, and your host, Drew Mandel. The Illegal Curve post-game show starts now.
If I told you in the month of April, the Jets, the Winnipeg Jets, the Winnipeg Jets would not have lost a single game, would you have believed me? Especially given the way Ezzy March ended? Probably not, but that's exactly the reality for this Winnipeg Jets team who have now won seven straight games and with tonight's 4-3 victory over the Seattle Kraken have now clinched home ice advantage over the Colorado Avalanche for round one. And with that, gave themselves a little latitude if they decide to rest some guys for game 82 on Thursday night when the Vancouver Canucks come to town. But for now, Ezzy, Jets fans are basking. Probably not the best game, not the game we saw against Dallas or Colorado, but you expected that. It was going to be a looser game against a Kraken team with nothing to lose other than the game itself. But the fact is that the Jets came in, won the game, and like I said, guaranteed themselves home ice advantage. We don't know when the playoffs will start, but as the Jets are officially second in the Central behind the Dallas Stars and ahead of the Colorado Avalanche with tonight's 4-3 win over the Seattle Kraken.
Yeah, pretty awesome, right? Because a couple of weeks ago, when the Jets were in the middle of that six-game losing streak, it wasn't looking too promising, right? So this is huge. This is absolutely huge for the Jets. And yeah, Dave, you don't like the fact that the Kraken scored a couple goals and they erased a two-goal deficit. We were talking about this. It was mentioned on the broadcast on TSN. The Kraken were the only team in the NHL, only team out of 32 teams that didn't have a multi-goal comeback. So obviously it wasn't meant to be for them. Tyler Toffoli made sure that the Jets were going to win this game. And, you know, obviously there was a little bit of a pushback from the Kraken. I wouldn't call it a monumental pushback, but you give them credit. They are playing for pride because they're clearly not playing for a playoff spot. They've been out of it for some time now, right? So overall, a pretty impressive effort. Kyle Connor, you know, he had a fantastic game. And, you know, Ehlers, I loved his goal, even though there was a little bit of a puck luck there. But Monahan, Ehlers, and Toffoli, that second line is looking excellent. And obviously, we'll talk a little bit about Morgan Barron, who left the game. But I like that fourth line early, obviously, with Iafallo and Namestnikov. And I thought Namestnikov was very solid for the Jets in a penalty-killing role, as he has been all year long. Obviously, the Jets didn't have to kill a lot of penalties, Dave. But look, I mean, it wasn't the strongest game for Connor Hellebuck, but it wasn't the strongest game for Philip Grubauer either, right? The Jets had three goals on their first 10 or 11 shots, right? So I think that, you know, overall, you know, all you care about is the fact that you have solidified home ice advantage for the first round against the Colorado Avalanche. We know that the Jets have already defeated the Avalanche multiple times this year, and so they obviously have the edge going into the first round in that regard. But yeah, I think, you know, you're happy with the end result, even though there were kind of stretches this game and there were turnovers. You know, on the Ty Cartier goal alone, I counted four turnovers by the Jets, right? Yeah. So yeah, it's not pretty, but at the end of the day, who cares? I'm not sure if we have Rick Bonus yet, but I can see Colby's got it up there on the other screen. So we are going to have Rick Bonus live from Canada Life Center in a few minutes, right, Dave?
Yeah, we will. And we probably have a little bit. Colby usually gives us a little heads up. So we're probably a little ways away from that. But look, again, this team is doing things that we haven't seen from very many Jets teams ever, right? This is just the second time in this franchise's history that they've won 51 hockey games. So that's a big number. And, you know, Rick Bonus was asked about it yesterday, I believe. Was it yesterday? My days are running in as maybe today. Yeah, yesterday. And he said, like, look, we're a good hockey team. We've won 50 games. Well, now they've won 51 games. And they've won seven in a row. And that's not something to you know, look down on, right? I mean, this is a team that's playing pretty good hockey and doing so just before the playoffs. Now, it's not critical to be on this kind of stretch in order to win a Stanley Cup, but it certainly doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt to be feeling good about your game, to feeling like your game's in a good place. Now, of course, as the biggest question that we have, of course, is, you know, when will those playoff games begin? We still don't know officially yet. We'll hopefully hear in the next few days And that way we can let everyone know whether to join us at Boston Pizza or to join us at City Place for the Illegal Curve pregame show, which is going to come to you before every home game.
There's a lot of speculation going on, by the way. Like, you know, you posted the report from Elliot Friedman that the game one is going to be on Monday, but other people are speculating that it's going to be Sunday. Like, let's just wait and find out. I'm not sure if we're going to find out tomorrow. We'll probably have to wait till Thursday or Friday, right, Dave?
Yeah, I'm not exactly. They may wait till the season ends in order to let us know exactly when it's going to be. Like, let's hope it is sooner rather than later. Because I, like you, I'd like to let everybody know when they can join us in person and or like I said, watching the show, which we appreciate as well. But ultimately, this is a Jets team that we've been hearing from them. We talked to Mason Appleton today. We talked to Nino Niederreiter. We've talked to a lot of guys who are, you know, feeling good about the way the game is being played, the way their games individually are looking. And, you know, like I said, you weren't expecting this game as to be a Picasso. You just knew that it wasn't going to be, given the fact that Seattle has been, you know, loose and they don't have anything to play for. So you knew that they were just going to come in and be a little bit more run and gun, and the Jets were going to try and close that down. And were they perfect at it? No, obviously not. There were definitely some plays, especially in that second period, as you touched on, that I'm sure the coaching staff won't like, because it was, you think about that giveaway with Pionk, and of course Morrissey, I think, was flying the zone at the time. So Ehlers on one of the goals, he made up for it, as you said, Ez, but little things that they'll work on. And one of the things that we've heard, you know, today we heard it from Dylan Sandberg. Yesterday we heard from Connor Hellebuck, was this idea of this video session that these guys did during their losing streak, where it kind of, you know, Rick Bowness, had alluded to this idea that they knew what was going on. He wasn't going to share it with us. He wasn't going to tell us in the media what was going on. So he would, whenever we were in the Matt Frost Media Center, he wouldn't really share that information despite prodding. But, you know, Connor Hellebuck talked about it. Dylan Sandberg talked about it today. Just the idea that these guys, you know, there were some elements to their games that needed to be worked on. And that they were finally kind of hit that point when in that losing streak where they kind of got it, the details that we talk about, and they figured out, you know, where they were going wrong. So good on them. And again, like I said, not all wins are perfect, as we saw in Nashville, where you won despite the way you played. But so far, you know, with the games against Dallas, with the game against Colorado, and now with this game against Seattle, this team is feeling good as they go into the first round. And the Colorado Avalanche probably aren't right now, based on how things went on Sunday against Vegas.
No, they're not. And the Jets clearly have all of the momentum, Dave. Like, you know that a lot of people will pick the Jets over the Avalanche just based on the 7-0 win on Saturday and based on the season series, right? As opposed to maybe looking at these two teams at a macro level and how they've played the entire year, right? Like,
yeah.
So, yeah, I think all the momentum is in the Jets' favor, but, you know, past performance doesn't necessarily, you know, indicate future performance, right?
So absolutely,
we'll have to wait and see what happens, right? Like, look what happened last year between the Jets and the Golden Knights, when the Jets were really impressive in game one, and then the Golden Knights win four in a row, including two at home, right? So we know that home ice advantage isn't as big of an advantage maybe as it's made out to be, but who cares at this point, right? The Jets get the extra playoff date, and Jets fans get to watch the Jets and Avalanche play in game one as opposed to game three. So this is not necessarily about, you know, historical data. This is about Jets fans. And after, you know, the way the season ended last year, now the Jets finished second in the Central, and they're going to get home ice advantage against the Avalanche. So this is an opportunity for all Jets fans watching now to celebrate. So I'm not going to be a buzzkill and throw cold water on this. This is a happy day for Jets fans and a happy day for the organization. And even though, like you said, this game, you know, wasn't beautiful. I mean, there were some periods of this game where, you know, the Jets weren't generating a lot of offense.
Yeah.
I told you, Dave, the Tanev, Pierre, Edward, Belmar, Thomas, Tatar line, obviously they connected for a goal. Like, that line was giving the Jets a lot of problems. And then the third line of Yanni Gord, Oliver Bjorkstrand, Ty Cartier, they were obviously the three players that connected on the tie-in goal for the Kraken, and they were really good. So it wasn't the top line of Matty Beniers, Burakovsky, and Eberle that was doing all the damage. It was the third and fourth lines for the Kraken. So, yeah, look, they made it interesting. And I think, you know, that's a better thing for Jets fans that were in the building and watching at home, right? You want to see a close game, I think, right? Most Jets fans, I think, I mean, look, Jets fans love a 7-0 win as well. But, you know, look, give the Kraken a fair share of credit here for making this game competitive. But there's no doubt, Dave, as you mentioned, 7 wins in a row, second place, home ice advantage, even though the Jets are still turning the puck over and they're definitely guilty of some self-inflicted wounds. I think, you know, these last seven games, have pretty much gone as well as you could have scripted.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And we'll just wait for Rick Bowness. He's going to come out and give his thoughts on tonight's game. But, you know, as one of the things you talked about was this idea that the Jets needed to get back to an identity of playing the way they've been able to play. And look, like I said, you're not going to be, you're happy with that first period, right? For the most part, obviously there were a couple of instances where there were some things that went wrong. And you mentioned it already, Morgan Barron gets injured. So he's done. It was, I believe a lower body injury, the team called it. So we'll find out.
And neither of us saw anything. And I'm not sure if anybody in the chat saw anything. They didn't mention anything on the broadcast either. So it makes you kind of think that maybe it was something like a groin or, you know, a lower body thing. Like there was nothing egregious that happened that led up to that. At least they didn't mention anything, and I didn't see anything from any of the Jets media. So we'll have to just wait and see what exactly happened with Barron. I'm sure somebody's going to ask him right off the bat in a few moments. Rick Bowness is going to be asked about that by somebody in the media, right, Dave?
Yeah, and well, it's interesting because like we're in the press box. I had no idea. Like I looked down, I saw Ehlers taking a shift with Nemestikov and Iafallo, and I was like, well, why is Ehlers on this line? And then I was looking for Barron and I was like, well, what's going on here? And then we heard later that he had been removed. So yeah, we didn't see anything live and it was tangible that anyone noticed in particular. So I'm not sure. We're saying KG3 is telling us that he went awkwardly into the boards. So, and Miller Time is saying that as well. So we'll see if there's an update on Morgan Barron. And
the Jets are going to need him, right? Like he's been a staple of that fourth line and they have other players that can come in. Obviously David Gustavsson, most recently, Dave did an admirable job in two wins for the Jets on the third line. Right. So they have Gustavsson, they have Perfetti. I mean, I don't think it's going to get down to Rasmus Kupari unless you have more injuries, but I would rather have Morgan Barron on the wing on the fourth line than Gustavsson or Perfetti. He's got 11 goals. He's having a career year. So hopefully, you know, Barron, you know, if he does miss any time, it's just going to be one game and then he'll be ready for the playoffs. But again, it's way too early to speculate because we don't even know what the injury is, right?
Well, no. And the one thing I would say and worth mentioning is that the last couple of games, Rick Bowness has been having extra guys in warm-up. And today was no exception to that. David Gustavsson, who played very admirably in the two games, he was asked to play for Nino Niederreiter in the last two. He had a goal and two assists. He was a healthy scratch today. But at the same time, here comes Rick Bowness. So we'll head to the Jets head coach right now in the Matt Frost Media Center, and we'll come right back after his words.
Feels good. We that was something that was our objective once we got this later on in the season. Okay, we have a shot at getting home ice. Let's go for it and give the guy a lot of credit. They buckled down, and we got it. And so okay. I think it's important for us to be able to do that. And,
How did things turn around during this winning streak?
Pardon me?
How did you get things turned around during this winning streak for your group as a whole to get some momentum?
I think, you know, in that 6 games we were losing, we played a couple of really good games in there. We did. I mean, not really good, but well enough to get a point or something. So we didn't let beat us. We kept the focus on the process and getting back to the things that we do well for 60 minutes, and we were able to do that.
Yeah, I mean, how impressed have you been? Kyle Conn said, commitment to that play and that defensive structure.
Exactly. I mean, yeah. Well, because they know now what it looks like, and they know now what okay things aren't going well. What we have to do it's a little easier for them to see it themselves, right? Because we've been doing it in 2 years, it's a little easier to recognize, and they again they have to buy in, and they've done that.
What can you tell us about Morgan Barron lead game?
We'll probably know more tomorrow morning. We got to get reevaluated. See him get reevaluated.
Okay. Rick, further to your club's ability to self-correct elements of the system when it doesn't look quite right, does that make the second period tonight less of a concern, even though it's very late in the season?
Well, the second period was just terrible puck management. It had nothing to do with structure. It was just puck management, all of it. So, but they recognized too, right, now that, okay, we're feeding their transition. We're giving them opportunities. We let them get back in the game just with our puck possession, our puck management. That's really the biggest issue we had in the second period.
Because Thursday's game has no stakes in the standings riding on it now, are you contemplating resting some guys who could use a break?
Yeah, we're going to talk about that tomorrow. You're getting old like me. You got to write things down so you remember.
Kyle Connor, you know, he has a big point streak right now. Point. Have you seen anything different from his game recently that's kind of led to a big string of point production? Is this the best hockey you've seen him play this year?
You know what I see in his game? I see him skating really well at both ends of the ice. He really is. So that tells you he's engaged in the game. There's been some back. So, I mean, I know he's scoring goals and he's creating things, but you watch how many times, how hard he comes back. So when you see that in your players, you know they're totally engaged, and he is an elite offensive player that when he's engaged in the game, he's going to get those opportunities, he's going to bury them. You remember?
First, you talked quite a bit throughout the year about getting your first and second scoring lines. Is this the best you've seen them playing, you know, at the same time?
Yes, yeah. And again, we've liked that chemistry of the Monahan Ehlers line from the day we put them together, and that's looked good. You know, Gabe's missed quite a bit of, you know, he's missed enough time. But when he's there on that line, he looks good on it. We know the combination of Mark and KC works, because before KC got hurt, he was leading the league in goal. So we know that there. But we needed that second line to come up and be more consistent, and they've done that with the acquisition of Sean and Tyler.
You're not the kind of guy to talk much about yourself, so I'll ask about your coaching staff. But I just wonder how you feel the job that your coaching staff has done from him that not long ago was in a six-game losing streak, and you laid out a bunch of things that you wanted your team to do, and it almost looks like you've ticked every single box that you're trying to get this team doing before you're heading into the playoffs.
Yeah, the coaches, look, our coaches work very hard. They're here early in the morning, and they're all very intelligent hockey. They're good hockey people, and they're good people. They all have good rapport with the players, and that's important today, that communication you absolutely have to have with your players, and the whole staff is very good at that. But they work closely with the players, and they come every day, and they're very well prepared. So again, how many head coaches can take the month of November off and the team can keep going? So give them all the credit. They deserve an awful lot of it. Good. Thanks.
There he goes from the Matt Frost Media Center, head coach Rick Bowness.
From Rick Bowness on the screen to us two bozos.
Hey, that's okay. That's fine. We'll thank Colby Spence for not only taking great photos, but doing some videography as well. So thank you, Colby.
I'm just glad that Sean Reynolds remembered his question, because I was worried that he wasn't going to get that in. Yeah, pretty funny there.
Well, I think, unfortunately, Rennie used up all his good material when he was on our show on Saturday, the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. So if you didn't get a chance to check that out, make sure you do. It's worth downloading. And thanks to all of you. We shot up. We were like, I think, top 25 podcast in Canada for hockey. So that's always appreciated and well received because of good folks like you helping us with that algorithm, making sure you're subscribing, making sure you're smashing that like button and leaving comments. That kind of stuff helps.
Dave, we're at least like, I think, the 23rd or 24th best podcast. Like, come on. 25.
We're close, but hey, we're
23.
We're still ahead. We were ahead of Don Cherry. So that wasn't too bad. He was the grapes, right? I think was in 29th. So we're doing all right. But, anyways, thanks to all of you. That's how we do this, is because all of you support us each and every one of the times we do this show. So, it's been a good run, Ezzy. I can't believe we're already at game 81. I don't know how I got here that quickly, because it felt like, especially when we get to the 50s, maybe the 60s, you're kind of like, all right, this feels like it's a long time. But we're now at game 81. We have one game left after all of this, and we'll get into the post game as soon as I can pull up the sheet.
One thing to mention before you hit the bumper there, Dave.
Sure.
Brent Bellamy, a good friend of the show, mentioned this. If the Jets, I don't think I'm going to have to fact check Brent. He's an accomplished architect and columnist for the Winnipeg Free Press. So I trust Brent's facts here, but he says if the Jets defeat the Canucks, they would finish fourth overall.
Right. So,
and that would be the Jets' best record. Jets, that would be the Jets' best 1.0 or 2.0. Pardon me. Sorry. Let me start that again. That would be the Jets' best finish as 2.0, because for the Jets 1.0 in 1985-86, they finished fourth overall.
Interesting.
So it would tie the best finish by a Jets 1.0 or 2.0 team.
Okay. Well, those are some good. Those are some good factoids.
Yeah.
This of course would tie the Jets for the best ever most amount of wins if they can beat the Canucks on Thursday, because they'll have that 17-18 team, the team that we always talk about, the team we always reference. They had 52 wins. They had a few more overtime or shootout losses than this team, so they finished with 114 points. As this team's at what now? 108, I think, is where this Jets club is right now. So they'll be a little bit below that team, but still, I mean, this is one of the best teams we've ever seen in 2.0 history, probably 1.0 history, maybe not WHA history, of course, because we know what the teams in the WHA did. But like I said, we'll get the Betway game recap started, because it's time. We've got 7 goals to discuss, not 7 goals by the Jets, Ezzy, but 7 goals total. So we're going to have the Betway game recap coming your way right now.
The Betway game recap.
The Betway game recap is brought to you by Betway, one of the most trusted voices in sports betting, both in Canada and all around the world. Betway is the sports betting app that puts you, the customer, at the forefront. With a large selection of betting options in sports, as well as strong promotions and fair odds, what are you waiting for, Ezzy? Head on over to Betway and bet your way. You must be 19 years or older to play, and always, Ezzy, please play responsibly.
Sorry, somebody is now saying in the chat, sorry, I was trying to post the comment, Dave. I lost it. But I think that might not be correct, because if the Jets had 114 points that year, weren't they second overall?
Yeah, I didn't want to poo-poo Brent's thing, but I was somewhat. I mean, Nashville had 117.
Yeah, unless there was a team that was between the Jets and the Predators, but I don't think there was.
Well, I mean, it's not really hard to look up, but
regardless, 100. If the Jets get to 110 points, that's their second best ever season Jets 2.0.
Yeah.
Or 1.0.
So. Yeah, I would think so. But now I'm curious, because now you got me looking the Jets had 114. I think Brett's wrong, unfortunately.
I might have read Brent's message wrong.
Well, I guess
comment wrong.
Well, because the Predators had 117.
Sorry, Brent, I let you down there.
I was going to say, unfortunately, Brent, it's very wrong, because the Predators had 117 points, Jets had 114. They were the second overall team. So something, there's a miscommunique, I think, in your reading of his thing.
Dylan's settling this debate right now.
Yeah.
Regardless, this is one of the best Jets regular seasons they've ever had. Let's just leave it at that.
I think we can agree to leave it at that. Anyways,
what matters most is how they do in the playoffs, and hopefully they surpass what they did in 2018, because we know the Jets have never gone to the Stanley Cup final 1.0 or 2.0. Mm-hmm. A team from Winnipeg has won the Stanley Cup, of course. Shout out to several teams from Winnipeg in the late 19th century and early 20th century. You know who I'm talking about, the Winnipeg Victorias.
Yeah, of course, we know that, because that was the year Drew was born. So it was
exactly.
It was a very, very important year for us here at Illegal Curve. One thing I noticed, and I don't know if anybody in the crowd noticed, this is not necessarily potpourri in terms of stats, but just one thing I noticed, Nino Niederreiter and Dylan DeMello look up at the flags while they're doing the national anthems. I've never noticed that before, but they pivoted during the U.S. anthem. They looked at the American flag, and then during the Canadian anthem, they looked up at the
I didn't want to steal your thunder, Dave, but they actually weren't doing that. They were actually just trying to get a better view of Marshawn Lynch.
Yes. Well, yeah. that was the right direction if they're looking at the Canadian flag, as he was sitting over in section 121. And of course, it's funny, like someone said to me, are you a member of the media if you didn't tweet out the fact that Marshawn Lynch was in the crowd? But Marshawn Lynch, of course, the former NFL great, he's got an ownership interest in the Seattle Kraken. So he was in the crowd and created quite the buzz when
according to our boy Dom Zappia, he's also here to shoot a movie. Well, I'm Dom's not sure. I'm not sure if that's a Hollywood movie or that or another type of movie, if you know what I mean.
I don't.
the third nothing.
Well, Dom's into shooting movies, so Dom would know. Dom's the director. Shoot
movies, yeah.
So there you go. So there we go. That answers that question. Let's get into it, Ezzy. Come on, we're getting sidebarred. This has been a good one, but like I said, it's time to talk about the Winnipeg Jets. And although I have to mention before we get into
East
any
mode.
Goals, well, before we get into speaking, okay, so that's a good segue.
What the movie's going to be called?
Well, that's what we think.
Yeah,
I know. Thank you. But the point I was going to make, speaking of beast mode, was the Brendan Dillon hit on Brandon Tanev. That was quite the beast
mode. By the way, Dave, the other type of movie I was talking about was the third last letter in the alphabet times three. That type of movie.
Ah. I mean, I knew where you were going, and I just was trying to avoid you getting into that.
I'm sorry. Okay. Sorry to Dom Zappia for my mind going there. Get my mind out of the gutter. Let's go. Let's get into the Betway game recap. Let's go, Dave.
All right. Let's start. It started with Kyle Connor. He gets his 33rd of the year. He opens up the scoring 1-0. Beautiful pass by Mark Scheifele. Josh Morrissey, and I know, again, we talk about Josh Morrissey and what he's able to do quite a lot on this program, but it really is amazing as if you think about the fact that, you know, for a long time, it did not look like he was going to come close to matching his totals from last year in terms of assists, where he had 60. He's not going to get to his goal totals because that was 16. But the truth is that he got up to 60 assists last year. And we're like, is he going to get close to that? Well, he was sitting at 57 as of today's game, and now he's up to 59. But this first one just, you know, rims that puck over to Mark Scheifele. And you got to give Kyle Connor credit, because one of the things he does well is finding that space. And he gets some soft ice in front of the Kraken net. And you got to wonder where the Kraken defense was on this play. But Mark Scheifele, no look. And those two, again, one of the things offensively, we know those guys know how to find each other. So a real nice pass by Mark Scheifele finds Kyle Connor, and the Jets have a 1-0 lead.
Dave, was that goal at 5-on-5? No, I'm just kidding. yeah, obviously, Connor, Scheifele, Vlardy, they've been clicking lately. And I agree 100%. And once we get to the second Connor goal, he was kind of left alone again. But this is an unbelievable pass by Mark Scheifele. And it was Justin Schultz and Brian Dumoulin who were on the ice, and I counted that pairing on the ice for 3 goals, and the Jets only scored 4 goals. So I'm pretty sure they weren't on for the one of the first 3 goals. But yeah, I mean, this is just good work down low by Mark Scheifele. And, you know, Kyle Connor quietly kind of creeps in there, but either Brian Dumoulin, you know, had no idea he was there, or just the Kraken forward just didn't cover for him, because Kyle Connor was waiting all along. But just an unbelievable between the legs pass between Dumoulin's legs by Mark Scheifele, who was spun around. And yeah, you know, this line continues to play well. It was a nice goal, but way too loose defensively for the Kraken. But a really good shift by that first line. I thought, like you mentioned it earlier, Dave, like, you know, it was a pretty low event. I hate to use that word.
It was.
Or words, sure. But it was a low event first period. But I thought the first line was really good. I thought the Monahan, Ehlers, Toffoli line was also good in that first period. We talked about the fourth line. I remember they connected for a scoring chance in the first 4 or 5 minutes. I remember Neil Pionk took a shot, and then Barron was there for the rebound, but obviously he was injured later in the frame. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's what stands out to me on that goal. Just absolutely beautiful pass by Scheifele, and Kyle Connor just being left alone in front by the Kraken. I was trying to see who the forward was there. It was Adam Larson, actually, who Scheifele put the puck between his legs. But that's the D pairing for the Kraken is Larson and Brian Dumoulin. I'm just looking here. Yeah, it was actually Bjorkstrand was the forward.
Yeah.
Just left Kyle Connor alone in front of the net, and you can't. That's the one guy on the Jets that you don't want to leave alone in front of the net.
Well, the Jets would have that lead for a little bit until Thomas Tatar said ta-ta to that lead. And, you know, pretty harmless looking. He did as.
It was a Tatai Cartier.
You know what? But he gets the puck and fires it in past Connor Hellebuyck. Probably not the best goal. A little bit of a screen there in terms of the play by, you know, Logan Stanley is standing in front of Connor Hellebuyck, kind of have to find a spot but he doesn't. And yeah, it's just, it's not the best goal. Like, you, again, but you kind of understand why Hellebuck didn't really see it, right? Like, it, I, upon first blush, I kind of thought it wasn't screened, but then you see the Stanley and the Stanimal, and he's been getting lauded, but not his best positioning on that one. He's peeling back and he gives that space, and, you know, Tatar takes advantage and ties the game 1-1.
Yeah, I think, you know, what you just said is pretty accurate. I think that, you know, look, the Kraken have some skilled players. Like, you forget the Kraken upset, not you, Dave, or anybody else, but you kind of forget because of the way they've played this year that they were a team that went to the second round last year, right? They
yep.
that the defending Stanley Cup champions at the time. So there's a lot of skilled forwards. And I just didn't, I didn't particularly, look, it's a giveaway by Nick Ehlers, first and yep. foremost. He doesn't get the puck in deep. This play starts at the Kraken blue line when Nick Ehlers does not get the puck in deep. Obviously, he redeems himself and he gets a goal after this.
Sure.
But that's the first mistake. I didn't love the way, and look, I think Logan Stanley has done a good job on the third pair with Sandberg, and he's mm-hmm. most likely going to start for the Jets in game one of the playoffs. But I thought, you know, he kind of, just maybe wasn't aggressive enough. He's kind of just backing up here.
Yeah.
And, you know, Tatar just kind of takes the ice, and it's a nice shot on Connor Hellebuck. And again, you know, is that a stoppable shot? Of course it is. But Thomas Tatar is a guy that's been scoring goals in the NHL for many, many years. And I mean, it starts with the bad giveaway at the Kraken blue line, but in the Kraken zone, I should say. But it obviously, you know, it is just, you know, Tatar having a little bit too much time and space, and it's a nice shot by him. And again, like, you know, the first period, obviously, you know, it doesn't go, you know, the way it wanted, the Kraken wanted it to, but it was pretty sleepy. And I thought they did a pretty good job of, you know, containing some of the Jets' best offensive players. And if it wasn't for Kyle Connor scoring with 10 seconds left in the game, pardon me, in the period, then the Kraken are going into the first intermission with a 1-1 tie, right? So I thought the yeah. Kraken played a considering, Dave, that they have nothing to play for aside mm-hmm. from pride, I thought that the Kraken, you know, considering they're on the road, it's the second last game of the year, or maybe
they've
it's
lost, they had lost three games yeah. coming into today's game.
The Kraken have been a bit of a mess this year. So I thought for the most part, they played a good solid period. But yeah, if you're Ehlers there, you just have to get the puck in deep, or you just
yeah.
look, he's kind of spinning backwards. Like, it just wasn't yeah. a smart play by Ehlers. And obviously the microscope is on Ehlers, right, Dave? We know that Rick Bonus and the coaching staff sat him recently. I think that was that the Nashville game?
Yeah. The Nashville,
that was the Nashville
not happy,
game. Right?
He was definitely not happy with Ehlers. After
yeah.
the Nashville game.
So Ehlers is under a bit of a microscope here, but again, I think he's been one of the Jets' best forwards all year long. He mm-hmm. was one of their best forwards tonight. So again, Ehlers giveth, Ehlers taketh away, right? Same yeah. thing with Kyle Connor. Kyle Connor giveth, Kyle Connor taketh away.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny because Rick Bonus was asked about shift length or shifts and time, minutes on the ice. And it's interesting because he essentially said Nikolaj Ehlers had 22 shifts the other game. Kyle Connor had 21. So that's what his focus is on shifts. He just said, like, unfortunately, I jokingly called Nikolaj Ehlers an avowed short shift taker because his shifts are a lot shorter than Kyle Connor's. So maybe Kyle Connor could learn. He'll have a little more in the tank as if he takes shorter shifts like Nikolaj Ehlers. But you're right. That was a play where Ehlers needed to get that puck deep. And you're 100% right, by the way, in terms of the fact that it was a low event period, because shots were, at one point, I looked up and shots were like 4-4. It was at least the midway point of the period. And you're wondering, is this a sleepy period right now? And it was, I think it was a sellout crowd the seventh or eighth time now this year the Jets have had a sellout. So it was a good crowd in the building, but you know, unfortunately for them, there wasn't a lot going on in that first. And it looked like, as to, I was about to use your words, low event in the in our tweet to on the Illegal Curve account to end that first period and let
not,
people
not
know.
My words, Dave, but
well, somebody, the words you don't like to use. And so my point is that I was about to say, because that's what it was, 1-1 at that point. I was getting the tweet ready to go. And then with 5.8 seconds to go, approximately, the man who you don't want to have close to the net and with a chance to shoot and score, Kyle Connor. But the Jets do a good job, right? They work it around. They make some, you know, they've got Seattle moving. And again, like I said, if you give Kyle Connor that kind of time and space, which they do for some inexplicable reason, because I think they're trying to block the shot from the point, but ultimately it leaves Kyle Connor wide open and he puts the Jets up 2-1 late in that first period.
Yeah, and we got to give – I thought Scheifele was excellent. We already talked about the Scheifele-Connor-Vilardi line. They were good tonight. But Scheifele, for a guy who's a career less than 50% faceoff guy, I think he ended up at 63%, 64%, Dave. So that's notable. He was good in the faceoff circle. I know that you can't necessarily directly correlate. I got to say this for our buddy Garrett Hole. I'm not sure if he's watching or listening on the podcast, but we have him on every so often. And, you know, he hates when people put too much emphasis on faceoffs.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is, in a situation like this, right, when the game's tied, there's, you know, whatever, how much time there was left in the period.
Well, there's 14 seconds when
I was going to say 14 seconds.
Yeah.
So that's when faceoffs are important, right? So, yeah, the Jets move the puck pretty well on along the blue line. I think Pionk was out there with Morrissey. And Kyle Connor is just left, like you said, completely wide open. Morrissey finds him with a nice pass. But, you know, again, like, he has way too much time and space. And I mentioned this before. It was the Dumoulin pair, Brian Dumoulin and Adam Larson. Justin Schultz. Sorry, I got to get my defenseman right here. Brian Dumoulin and Justin Schultz were the D pair out there. And again, like, I'm not sure if it was just, you know, a function of Brian Dumoulin was out chasing and Justin Schultz was kind of out of position. But Kyle Connor just creeps in from the blue line and he's right at the bottom of the circle. And at first it looked like he might pass it. But you know, he just says, well, I've got all this time and space. I might as well just go roof daddy on Philip Grubauer. Right. So, again, yeah, just, you know, good on the Jets, good execution. But you know, the Kraken just looked like they were a little bit lost in their defensive zone. And that's probably one of the reasons why they're not a playoff team and they've been on this losing streak to end the season. Right. But yeah, Connor, Scheifele, and Vilardi were huge. Got to give Vilardi credit too, Dave, as you mentioned, on this goal. Like, he goes to the net and he causes a little bit of confusion there, right? And that's why I think this line has been so complimentary, right? Gabe Vilardi,
like, they say nice things about each other?
Yeah, well, and you have to worry about, and that's the thing with Justin Schultz, is he has to worry about Gabe Vilardi, and now Brian Dumoulin is a little bit out of position. And again, that's just, to me, you know, a little bit of lack of communication with the Kraken and knowing who should take Kyle Connor. It was Kaylor Yamamoto. Sorry, I just had to get the replay there. Kaylor Yamamoto took the faceoff. And again, right, like, if you're going to have Dumoulin out chasing Mark Scheifele, then someone's got to cover Kyle Connor, right? So it's just miscommunication between the Kraken. But again, that's a key goal because you're going into the first intermission for the Kraken, even though this is a meaningless game. That's deflating, right? We've talked about this so many times. The Jets have been scored on late in periods.
Yeah.
But more often than not, the Jets have been the team scoring late in periods. And it's a huge difference going in, especially when you know, Connor Hellebuyck isn't going to be letting in many more goals. Obviously, they scored a couple more. But, you know, that was a huge goal at the time. It didn't necessarily stand up. But, you know, that was a big one to get a goal that late in the first period.
Yeah, there's no question about that, Ezzy. You're absolutely right. And so the Jets go into the first period up 2-1. And despite the fact that it was a fairly uneventful period, the home team will take that 2-1 lead into
Hold
the
on
second.
A second. Do we have breaking? I see Doug Thoroski saying first playoff game. So, has that been confirmed?
It's not confirmed. It's Scotty Billick of the Winnipeg Sun is putting that out there, saying that the Jets will follow.
Or in Sean Monahan too.
Yeah, is saying that the Jets are going to follow the Leafs and Bruins, and they'll be at 8:30, which if that's the case, well, the post-game show might be starting around 7.
Well, and River Rebel WF, got to get the WF in there. He's saying, why aren't we playing on the weekend? I have no idea.
Why not? It doesn't make a lot of sense. The Nashville Predators' last game, I think, was yesterday or today. It was yesterday. And I think they won't play now again till Monday or Tuesday. Like the NHL doesn't make any sense.
Like the teams that finish earlier should be the ones that start on Saturday, right? Like, it doesn't really make sense why the teams that finish earlier, like the Jets, I think, are there any games Friday? I don't think there are any games.
No.
Friday,
it starts Saturday, Sunday is the first.
Yeah. So if anything, that's why a lot of people were speculating that game one would be Sunday.
Yes. That would make a lot of sense.
At the end of the day, I mean, look, the game, the NHL is going to schedule the games when they want to schedule the games, right?
Yeah.
But I agree with Rat River Rebel. I thought it would make a lot of sense if game one was Sunday.
Yeah.
But here we are looking like game one is going to be on Monday. And the most important thing is it's happening in the province of Manitoba as opposed to the state of Colorado.
That is true. Because as of, you know, we don't want to be spoilers, but if you already know the score, if you don't know the score, hit mute. But, you know, if you do know the score, you know the Jets won. If you don't, you just are following along with us and you think the Jets are up 2-1 heading into the third period, into the second period, Ezzie. And, you know, you talk about Nikolaj Ehlers giveth and he taketh. Well, in this, a little bit of a dirty goal from Nikolaj Ehlers. First of all, nice from the Jets to start it in their end. And they bring it from behind the net. Ehlers finds Toffoli. He takes a slapper. And again, like, questionable defense, right? Like, Toffoli is not near the puck. And you've got two Kraken who decide, well, you know what? We're going to follow Toffoli into the corner. Again, leaving Nikolaj Ehlers and Sean Monahan wide open in front of the net. And Ehlers, to his credit, is in a hard area, area where he could take a big shot if they deliver it. But instead, he dives, slaps at the puck, creates a rebound, and then puts his rebound into the net to give the Jets a 3-1 lead.
And the thing, Dave, is at the end of the day, all people are going to remember really about this game is that, you know, the Jets clinched home ice. But I think it's significant that Nick Ehlers is obviously exposed, let's say, on the Kraken first goal. And we mentioned earlier he was a healthy scratch. He did not have a good game against the Nashville Predators. And I think it's significant here, you know, this goal, because obviously this was the kind of pull ahead goal or pull away goal. But, you know, it starts in the Jets zone, all Nick Ehlers speed. And the pass doesn't go, it's not a good pass to Tyler Toffoli, but Toffoli takes it off of the boards, puts it on net. And, you know, Ehlers just goes to the net, takes the first poke at it. And then I think, if I'm not mistaken, it was our friend Justin Schultz again, right? Who kind of goes off of him. And then Schultz kind of pushes Grubauer into the net. Felt bad for Grubauer on this goal, right? Because, like, what is Grubauer supposed to do, right? He's being pushed by his own player. The puck goes off of Schultz. We didn't necessarily see that originally, but you could see it on the replay, right? So you love the fact that, you know, Ehlers starts this play. We've called him Mr. Zone Entry for how many years now with his speed, right? So Ehlers starts this off with his speed, and I like the fact that even though it's not a good pass to Toffoli, Toffoli just puts it on net off of the boards, and even though you get a lucky bounce because it pops up and goes off of Schultz, I love the fact that Ehlers just goes right into the net. Like, he's right in there in the blue paint, and he dives, and he makes sure he puts that puck in. So, again, that's the type of goal, Dave, you expect, like, guys like Adam Lowry, Nino Niederreiter, Mason Appleton, like, the third-line guys to score that goal. So I think it's significant, though, that Ehlers scored that goal to put the Jets up 2 because of everything that's been happening. And, you know, as we talked about, not just earlier in the game, but, you know, throughout the season, really, right? Like, that's been a big narrative this season, right? That even though Nikolaj Ehlers has been really successful at 5-on-5 with Mark Scheifele, he often finds himself on the second line, the second power play unit, everything like that, right? So that was a huge goal. And even though, as we're going to get into, the Kraken tie it up, you know, at that point, that was giving the Jets some breathing room, right?
Yeah, and look, it's amazing to say this. I think it's only the second or third, time maybe Nikolaj Ehlers has hit 60 points. So, you know,
and career high is 64, Dave, 65?
64.
Yeah.
He had 64, but that was like in 16, 17. No. Yeah. 15 is either 15 or 16, 16 or 16, 17. I should know since I tweeted the stupid thing in my potpourri. It was 17, 18 when he had 60. And he's up to 61. We'll get into that in a second. His career high was 64, like you said, as he in 2016-17. So,
well, hey, he can have a 5-point night against Vancouver.
Well, I mean, the fact of the matter is, it's one of the things that Nikolaj Ehlers talked about on the in the post-game media availability, and I'm seeing that courtesy of our friend Connor Hrabchak. But it's just the fact that he's got the chance to play 82 games. He's healthy this year, and that's a big difference.
Sorry, he would need 4 points against Vancouver.
Yeah, to beat it. Yes, that's correct.
I mean, with
technically, hold on, Ezzie. As of right now, where we are in our analysis, you are correct. He would need 5. He's going to get an assist on the game-winning goal. But as of right now, where we are at, he's at his 60th point because we're just talking about the goal he scored.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I see what you did
you,
there.
You're factually accurate in the context of
we're going back to the future is what we're doing, right?
Exactly. Exactly. So anyways, the point is that it's significant. Nikolaj Ehlers is healthy and he's been healthy all year long. And he's produced for this Jets club. So he's, and you know, look, he's hard on himself. We know that. And we know that we also know that Rick Bonus really likes that line of Tyler Toffoli, Nikolaj Ehlers, and Sean Monahan. So
that line is not being broken up. Like, no, this is set. No. That's why I said to you, Dave, like a lot of people I see in the chat are talking about, and I think it was John Liu who asked Rick Bonus about players possibly being rested with other guys coming in. Like,
you're talking about this morning.
Yeah. Actually, and I'm not even going to say ideally. That's not the right word. I think, at least what I think happens is I think Nate Schmidt goes in. Maybe Colin Miller also goes in.
Probably.
But I think Nate Schmidt probably would go in if they decide to only put in one of the healthy scratches. Yeah. And then I see probably all three of David Gustafson, Cole Perfetti, Rasmus Kupari getting in. Because why wouldn't you give them a game?
Well, not only would you, why wouldn't you give them a game, but you want those guys to feel like, you want those guys' legs to be good in case you do need them in game one or game two. Well, not game one, but in game two or game three or game 15 or game 16 of the playoffs. So the point is, yeah, you definitely need to keep those guys. I know that folks want to talk about Moose players, and we'll get into some Moose talk after the break. But, you know, the Moose are in a battle of their own, right? The Moose, we'll know more tomorrow because they're in Milwaukee. They're taking on the Admirals, but the Moose have a chance to clinch home ice against the Texas Stars later this weekend. So we'll see in a battle for fourth in the Central. So, you know, I know folks want to say, oh, bring up Brad Lambert, bring up Ville Heinola, reward those guys. And, you know, you can give a lot of guys a night off on Thursday. And maybe they're factoring in as when the next Jets game will be, because that might factor in if they're not playing till Monday. Do you want those guys sitting for that long? And Brendan Dillon's talked about that. A lot of guys have talked about it. So we'll see what that happens. We'll come to that bridge, and you'll stick to illegalcurve.com because that will be your source for the info if there's a practice, if there's information on Morgan Barron tomorrow. Now, the Jets are scheduled to practice tomorrow. We don't know if they'll maintain it or if they'll cancel it. But if they do, of course, we'll be there, and you can check illegalcurve.com or our YouTube channel. But right now, you're listening to the Illegal Curve postgame show. We do this after each and every single Jets games. And of course, with the upcoming playoffs, we'll be live at City Place for the home games. So you can join us for the Illegal Curve pregame show, a new feature here on the channel.
Know now that game three is going to be the Boston Pizza Taylor show.
That is true. So we don't know when that will be. We assume it'll be, you know, sometime, not this weekend, but the weekend following. But we'll
be again, Friday night, Dave.
Could be a big Friday night leading into the Saturday morning show, but there's lots still uncertain. The one thing that is certain is that the Jets are the second place team in the Central. Now, we got to keep going as we got the Betway game recap. And, you know, this was not a highlight goal it was a nice tip by Yanni Gourde. I got to give him credit because I thought
The puck was missing the net by like 3 or 4 feet.
Yeah, but my point is that he made a nice play to get his stick on this puck and tip it past Connor Hellebuyck. But, you know, the Jets creating a little chaos. It's the Sandberg and Stanley pairing. I don't know that we would see them for very much longer together because Rick Bonus at one point did switch Dylan Sandberg with probably right after the Pionk. I think it was after the Pionk error on the third goal. But he switches Dylan Sandberg with Neil Pionk. So Sandberg's paired with Brendan Dillon and Pionk is partnered with Logan Stanley. But for now, it's Stanley and Sandberg, and they're paired for the 3-2 goal for the Seattle Kraken.
So if it's Neil Pionk and Logan Stanley, are we calling that Stonk, or are we calling that Pionky, right? Like Pionk plus Stanley? I'm not sure. I like Stanberg or Stan, you know, the Stanimal or
Stanimal,
no, yeah. Stanberg. Dylan Sandberg and Logan Stanley. Stanberg works really well together, and those guys are obviously both big boys. But yeah, I mean, on this goal, there's a lot of traffic, right? We talked about it. The Yanni Gourde, Ty Cartier is a really good player. I remember last time we had John Forslund on the show. That was, I think, back really early in the season, or maybe even last year. Mm-hmm. He was talking about Ty Cartier because he, of course, was really good with Coachella.
Yes.
Right? Not the music festival, the American Hockey League team, right, Dave?
Which went all the way to the Calder Cup Finals and lost to Dylan McElrath, Winnipegger, and the Hershey Bears.
Yeah, Dylan McElrath, the pride of Winnipeg for sure.
Yeah.
Speaking of big defensemen, right?
Yeah. In fact, Dylan McElrath had the assist on Alex Ovechkin's goal to open the scoring in their game against the Philadelphia Flyers today.
Oh, really? So he's up in the... I wonder if he's going to stay up or if they just gave him a game, or he's the captain of Hershey. I know that.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, that's nice to see Dylan McElrath getting an assist on Ovechkin's goal as he gets closer to Gretzky, right? But yeah, on this particular goal, the thing that stood out to me is like Cartier, Bjorkstrand, Yanni Gord, like, right, Stanley Cup champion with the Tampa Bay Lightning. Like, that's the thing. You know, the Kraken obviously lose this game, but they've got enough talented players that they scratched and clawed their way back into this game. So, at the time of this goal, I love the work Brandon Tanev did on this goal. He was obviously getting off the ice because he was mid-shift, as we talked about. He's not on that line.
Yeah.
But obviously, it's just a really nice tip by Yanni Gord on the Riker Evans shot, because Riker Evans, I don't think he's trying. Look, I think he was probably hoping that Yanni Gord was going to tip that, but it was going way wide of the net. So not a lot of chance for Connor Hellebuck there. And Cartier was in front there with Logan Stanley. So, look, I don't even know how much Hellebuck saw that, Dave. There was a lot of traffic in front of him.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like, obviously, the next goal that Cartier scores, there were several giveaways in the neutral zone first. Monahan's not able to. He's pressured by Cartier. We'll get to it in a second. But, yeah, like, there was a lot of pressure coming from the Kraken. And, you know, I didn't necessarily love how the Jets played in this period, because I thought, you know, they played on their heels a little too much.
Yeah.
But, you know, what are the Kraken going to do? They have pride. They're still going to try to tie the game up. And that's exactly what they did on the next goal.
Well, and to the point you're making, Izzy, I mean, the reality is you still want to earn a job. Like, you still want to make, you know, you want to make an impression. So you're not going to, like, that's part of the idea of playing loose. And, you know, we'll get in right into that third goal for them, because, you know, Connor Hellebuck has no chance. I mean, it's not great defense. And look, the Jets, I think they scored, Yanni Gord scored at the 5:11 mark. So 13 minutes later, the Jets had that lead. But you're right. They weren't overly aggressive. They outshot Seattle 11-9 on this play. But Sean Monahan, you know, really is a little hot potato there with the puck as he gets pressured. And then Neil Pionk, what I'm getting at, I guess, ultimately, is that you can lay this at almost everybody's feet. Everybody who's on the ice played a role in here, because
the Monahan line was really, it was like a hot potato, the puck in the Jets zone, right? Like,
right.
They had many opportunities along the boards. Ehlers also gave up the puck in the corner or along the half boards.
Yeah.
You know, so it was just sloppy defense. So I know, look, Pionk's whiff is the egregious error
for sure
that leads to the goal, right? But Ty Cartier pressuring Monahan along the boards, to me, is just as significant, right? And so give this line of Gord, Cartier, and Bjorkstrand credit.
A lot of credit, yeah.
Because they also, you remember, they had a chance right before this, right? It was a 2-on-1. I think Bjorkstrand ended up keeping it and shooting the puck. Hellebuck made a save. But,
yeah,
I mean, that third line for the Kraken was all over the Jets' second line. So you got to give them credit. But again, you know, these are self-inflicted wounds. And, you know, Pionk, we're not going to go over that, because we talked about that a lot on the Saturday show. But he continues to struggle on his own end. And you wonder, you know, is Dylan Sandberg maybe a better option up there? But then you ask yourself, you know, is Logan Stanley, Neil Pionk, a third pairing that you can really depend on? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Or do you bring, you know, well, look, do I think that Neil Pionk could enjoy a rest on Thursday? I think that's probably not a bad idea. Get Nate Schmidt into the game, because you want him anyways. You want Colin Miller in the game. You know, maybe even give Dylan DeMello a night off. But, I mean, ultimately, like I said, this is it's an opportunity to get guys rest. You know, I know they want guys to play 82 games, and that's all well and good. But you want to keep – you want to give – as much as you want to give guys rest, you want to ensure that guys who haven't played in a while, and now that the way the Jets have ridden this group as, you know, before they were kind of rotating Stanley in with Schmidt and Miller, but those guys haven't played a lot. So get those guys into a game, get them ready to go. And like I said, if you need them,
I think that's what you'll see. I think that's exactly what you'll see. And Pionk might be the one that's rested, Dave.
Yeah. And it,
right. Like if you're going to have to take two defensemen out, obviously, if Schmidt and Colin Miller go in, maybe you give, do you maybe give Dylan DeMello a night off? Like, I'm not sure. I don't know how they make that decision, Dave.
Yeah.
I mean, the obvious one would be that Logan Stanley would come out, but the way he's been playing, and he's obviously, you know, the front runner to be in the top six for the Jets. Maybe they want to keep playing him. So we'll see what happens. But, you know, maybe it's Stanley and Sandberg that come out. I have absolutely no idea. But I agree with you. I think, you know, giving Schmidt and Colin Miller a game just makes way too much sense, as it does, you know, rewarding Gustavsson for how good he was on the third line. I see a comment there. It passed a little bit. I'd have to find it. But oh, here we go. It was from Baby Yoda. I think he might have spelled Niederreiter wrong there. It's okay, Baby Yoda. Niederreiter is hard to spell. But, you know, he was really good, Gus Bus, on the third line. Yeah. And obviously, Nino Niederreiter is going to be on the third line to start the playoffs.
Yeah, and he hasn't
been there the whole year. Days, but, you know, it makes a lot of sense to bring in all the healthy scratches, all the black aces, if you will, for this last game against Vancouver.
Yeah, and look, at the end, again, we'll get into the Moose talk in a little bit after the commercial break, but let's finish off things with the third period. And there was a lot of goal scoring, as Ian, you kind of called it, although you're pretty bang on. You said the Jets would score, and then you said the Jets would get an empty netter. You were partially right. We'll give you partial credit.
Well, and part of that was me wanting to see KFC get the hat trick, right?
That is true. But, I already had I had my potpourri hat trick tweet ready to go, where, you know, that would have been, I think that would have been the sixth hat trick of the season for the Jets, and it would have been his, Kyle Connor's, sixth hat trick of his career. So that's, we don't hope for things, but that would have happened. And of course that would have allowed folks to celebrate in Winnipeg, but they don't. The Jets get a power play, and on the power play, Tyler Toffoli, he scores his 33rd goal of the season. And I think someone said it was his seventh. I think they said on the broadcast his seventh one as a member of the Winnipeg Jets.
Not bad.
Yeah, not bad at all. And look, this is PP2. They're get some time finally. Nikola Ehlers. It's funny because Ehlers really is going for Niederreiter on the pass, and then the puck gets stopped, but it ends up on the stick of Tyler Toffoli, who makes that nice little, you know, inside out move, and then puts it into the back of the net, and the Jets have a 4-3 lead.
Yeah, and, you know, we just mentioned Toffoli's got seven goals. This is exactly what he was brought in at the trade deadline to do, right? Like, make no mistake, like, Toffoli, you know, he's not a bad defensive player, but this is what he does. And, you know, I think, you know, Dumoulin was on the ice again. I hate to pick on him. I mean, he was a Stanley Cup winner with the Pittsburgh Penguins, but Dumoulin was at least on for three goals, and maybe not minus three, but... and yeah, Toffoli kind of just undresses Dumoulin, and it's a nice goal. But a beauty pass by Nick Ehlers as well, who identifies that Toffoli's in the slot, and he puts it right on his tape. So that's even more another example. We talked about it on Ehlers' goal. Like, this line just, it seems like, you know, even though it's been said before that Ehlers is tough to play with, it seems like Monahan, with his patience and his smarts, and, you know, his ability to distribute the puck just as much as he can shoot it. And Toffoli is just kind of like, Tyler Toffoli to me is like a player that you can put on any line, on any team, and he's going to still be able to do the same things. Like, he's just always, I know it's a cliche, but he's just always in the right place at the right time. Like, he just always seems to be, you know, in that, the kind of inner slot area, right? So, yeah, I mean, that's a huge goal. For the Jets, and the power play, that's another thing too that we haven't talked a ton about, but the power play is clicking right now, right? Like, it's not I wouldn't say it's the top five power play in the NHL right now.
No, for sure.
But it's definitely not a bottom five or bottom 10 power play like it was for much of the season, right?
Yeah.
And obviously Gabe Vilardi, Dave, is the magic man. Like, we have to give him credit. I mean, it's like when Vilardi came back from his injury, it was like a breath of fresh air on the Jets power play. But as you mentioned, this is the second unit, and, you know, the second unit has to be ready to go, even if the first unit stays out there for the majority of the power plays, right? So huge goal, sealed the Jets fate. And, you know, there was a little bit of a pushback from the Kraken, as we talked about, but it was it had to be pretty demoralizing after you come back from a two goal deficit, and then, you know, the Jets score on the power play. And then obviously was it Jamie Oleksiak who took the high sticking penalty? No, Riker Evans took the high sticking penalty. You take a high sticking penalty, 4 minute minor, double minor, with less than 6 minutes left. I mean, you're not going to come back in the game. The Jets obviously didn't score, and I didn't really love the way the power play looked, to be honest with you, on that double minor. But they took care of business on Toffoli's goal when the second unit. But again, you get the 2 points and you clinch second and home ice, and that's all that matters.
For sure. And I'm just going to correct myself because I want to make sure that we're factually accurate on this show. I originally thought when I watched the goal that Nikolaj Ehlers' pass was went awry. But then watching that replay, as you are right, he definitely intended to make that pass to Tyler Toffoli. I thought originally he was passing to Niederreiter, but then you can see the way he kind of abruptly changes it, that he actually was intending that pass to Toffoli. So heck of a nice pass by Nikolaj Ehlers. And like I said, that gets him to 61 points, but more importantly, gets the Jets to 51 wins on the season as they go on to defeat the Seattle Kraken 4-3 to win their seventh game in a row. It's hard to believe, Azzy, seven straight games. I mean, it's amazing. Sports is such an unbelievable thing to follow, right? Jets lose those, what is it, five, six games in a row?
Six, yeah.
Six games in a row. The world is coming to an end. The Jets have now won seven straight. Jets fans are excited. They got home ice against an Avalanche team that's in a bit of a swoon, to be kind. And I know that folks in Colorado land aren't enthused about the idea of playing the Winnipeg Jets. So should be a fantastic first round series. We still don't know. I know there's lots of speculation about when this will start. And like I said, right now it looks like it's, folks are saying Monday at 8:45. We'll of course keep you appraised as to when the post-game shows, when the pre-game shows will be available, of course, on illegalcurve.com. So all that information, you'll be well advised, well in advance, Ezzy, well in advance before you have to worry about any of that. So, okay, well, let's send it to break. And of course, we got to remind everyone that the Betway Game Recap is brought to you, not surprisingly, by our friends at Betway. It's simple, fun, and safe to bet with Betway. So head on over to Betway and bet your way. You must be 19 years or older to play. Please play responsibly. This is, of course, the Illegal Curve post-game show. We come at you every single time the Jets play.
Smash the like button if you haven't smashed the like button. I know there's some people watching right now that haven't smashed the like button. I'm calling you out. Hit that like button.
I'm with Ez. I'm also going to call you out, but I'm going to call you out gently, and I'm just going to say, please, I'm going to be respectful. Please smash that like button. Make sure you're subscribing to this channel. And, of course, because like I said, there's two places you can get Jets information, basically. The Winnipeg Jets, in terms of video. Winnipeg Jets and Illegal Curve. If you want raw video, we're the site. We have it up before the Jets. No big deal. And there's no one else that posts the Jets media availabilities at home. We don't do the road stuff, but at home. So if you want to make sure you're getting that, you got to be subscribed. All right, we're going to head to some words from our sponsors. And when we come back, we'll maybe talk a little Moose. We'll talk hardest hitting comment. Of course, I forgot to give out the Seagram shot of the game, so I'll do that on the other side of the break. We'll have lots to do. We'll have a lot. Don't go anywhere. These are words from our sponsors.
You guys ever wish for a game changer in life?
Like finding out your favorite snack has zero calories?
Or discovering the mute button on Ezzy?
Picture this, a secret weapon for parking, where you can book a spot a whole month in advance.
Tell me more, Drew.
Pre-book your parking at really low rates, or maybe even for free if you use the code IllegalCurve.
Free? What is this, sorcery?
The GridPark app. It's a real secret weapon that has affordable game day parking, and to sweeten the deal even more,
I love sweets.
Our listeners can use the code IllegalCurve to park for free.
Holy Zamboni!
Tell me about it. Just download GridPark, GRYD Park, and use the code IllegalCurve, all one word, to park for free.
Whoa, Ezzy, everything okay? You look stressed.
Of course I'm stressed. We're moving, the house is upside down, the kids failed miserably at packing the fine china, and my life is in chaos. Chaos!
Yes, that does sound like a problem.
What am I going to do?
Ezzy, relax. Rolly's Transfer Moving and Storage is the answer. With 60 years of experience in moving Manitobans and a track record of exemplary customer service, one call to Rolly's and your stress is gone. No job is too big or too small. Just visit Rolly's.com and they will take it from there.
Thanks, Dave. And thank you, Rolly's Transfer Moving and Storage, online at Rolly's.com.
Your coworkers love you because you always make them laugh. You're the life of the party with stories that have them rolling on the floor. Or maybe you're just the quiet one in the corner with the one-liners that just slay. Do you have what it takes to become Winnipeg's funniest person with a day job? Try your luck. Hit the stage at Rumors Comedy Club and you could be walking away with $1,000 cash. Winnipeg's funniest person with a day job. Presented by Rumors. For all the details, head to rumorscomedyclub.com.
The game can change just like that. Accidents happen when you aren't protected. So now what? Getting to your injury quickly can make all the difference. Help prevent them from being game changers with Linden Market Dental Center. Bonding, crowns, bridges, and dental implants. State-of-the-art treatments are available to help you get back in the game. To learn more, visit LindenMarketDentalCenter.com. Creating smiles for life.
It's all over, folks, and the run has come to an end.
You'll be so far away.
A Canadian team hasn't won the Cup in over 30 years.
And the Cup will stay south of the border.
Maybe it's time we try something different. This playoff season, let's cheer with the fans we've always cheered against. Team up for the Cup at Boston Pizza.
For three generations and over 80 years, Tough Duck has been making apparel that works and plays as hard as the people who wear it. From jackets to work boots and everything in between, Tough Duck's clothing can handle the harshest environments, even the illegal curve hockey show. Work to live, live to play. Visit toughduck.com.
Welcome back to the Illegal Curve post-game show. I'm Dave Minuk. He's Ezra Ginsberg. We're here as we are each and every time the Jets play on the Illegal Curve post-game show, talking about the Jets 51 times this season. Ezzy, we've talked about a Jets win out of 81 games. That's a pretty good number. Second time we've ever been able to say that since the Jets have come back. Of course, back in 17-18, we weren't doing post-game shows. We were limited to our Saturday shows.
So, we were back on terrestrial radio back then.
We were on terrestrial radio, and we were, I mean, think about it. We were 3 hours long, so we had a little more time because there was so much to talk about because it was week-to-week programming versus getting a chance to see our faces, hear our voices almost every single day. And we appreciate each and every one of you who join us after every single game and download the podcast or watch us live or however you get Illegal Curve content. So thank you for joining us tonight and throughout the course of this season. Okay, Ez, I'm going to throw you a couple of things here because, of course, you know, like we said, probably going to give it to Nikolaj Ehlers because we like his moxie. But before I do, let's call it the Seagram's shot of the game.
The Seagram's shot of the game.
Just because it's a special occasion and we didn't give, let's be honest, I would do a shot of Fireball for no reason, but because True. The Jets True. Clinched home ice and it was a hardworking goal by Nick Ehlers and that was Jets win 51, I'm mm-hmm. doing a straight shot if I can. The cap's getting a little sticky here, Dave. Hold on, okay. Let me see if I can get it here. I mean, this bottle of Fireball's got some good use, so I'm going to go straight bottle drink in here. So this shot of Fireballs to those Winnipeg Jets and all the fans. Home ice advantage, baby.
There you go. As he's toasting the hardest shot by
L'chaim.
Our friend. Well, who are we giving it to? Nikolaj Ehlers, number 27?
We're giving it to me.
Oh, we're giving it to Ezzy. All right. Well, Ez is the guy who got the hardest shot. He did take the hardest shot. So Ez, kudos to you.
I think I could drink a glass of Fireball.
Could you?
No.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I would pass out if I drank a whole glass of it. But with tequila, some people can actually like sip a glass of tequila. I don't get it. I prefer Fireball.
Unfortunately, due to one crazy night at the Regent Casino, Dave Am does not drink tequila.
So, what about the night at the Planet Hollywood back in 2014?
If you recall,
we were drinking Patron with Philly Dan.
If you recall. You drank Patron. Jordy Farboni drank Patron. Philly Dan drank Patron.
Pretty sure Jordy Farboni also puked.
I that's the point. I did not drink Patron, and as a result, I was fine. You guys, not so much.
AVM stuck to cherry Pepsi, and that was a wise decision.
Exactly. All right, Ez, do we have a Tough Duck hardest-hitting comment?
We do have a Tough Duck hardest-hitting comment. Ready to go.
All right, let's hit into it right now.
The Tough Duck hardest-hitting comment.
Lots of good comments tonight, so we appreciate everyone giving their 2 cents in the chat. We're going to give it to someone who you might know as Centratech CEO. We're going to give it to Professor Andrew Haleko. Very short comment, but I thought it was sweet. Ehlers playing maybe the best hockey of his career, a little dirty even. Look at his goal. Money works well for 27. Monty works well.
Boy, what the hell was in that fireball shot, Ezzy? Did it destroy your eyes?
I'm pretty sure it destroyed my brain, Dave. Monty works well for 27. He's talking about Sean Monahan, obviously, but I agree with Andrew. Look, he coughed up the puck on the Kraken's first goal, but he made up for it with a nice, hardworking goal and a beautiful assist to Kyle Connor. On Connor's second goal. So a goal and an assist for Nick Ehlers. He was a healthy scratch on the road trip in the game against Nashville. We know, Dave, that the Jets were lucky to win that game against Nashville. Connor Hellebuck was excellent, especially in the second period. So Professor Andrew Haleko, send me an email, Ezra@illegalcurve.com. You can send me the email as Centratech CEO. And once again, for those people that don't watch the Illegal Curve postgame show every night, there's a documentary on Netflix called BitCon. I don't know if you call it a documentary. It's a movie, and you'll understand what we mean. Andrew Haleko plays a small role. He's interviewed in the movie, but he plays a small role because these Centratech guys stole Andrew's picture and pretended like he was somebody else for their company, Centratech. So that's what we're talking about. So, Andrew, congratulations. You win the hardest-hitting comment for Game 81, and we have one more toque to give out. And then it's trucker hat time for the playoffs, baby.
Trucker hats. Well, that's good for Ezzy and good for all of you because these temperatures, look, we live in Winnipeg, so you'll always need a toque eventually, but we're finally.
I hope your downspouts are on, Dave.
My downspouts are on, as are my shorts. You know, Dan Robertson, the play-by-play voice of the Jets, gets a kick out of the fact that I wear shorts pretty much till about, 0 degrees. And then I brought the shorts back this beautiful spring weather we're here enjoying here in Winnipeg. So
there's something very eccentric about somebody that wears shorts in the winter. And I think you're an eccentric guy, Dave.
I wear shorts at home in the winter. I don't go out in shorts. I'm not that guy. I'm not like the Bombers fan who was like wearing shorts until the Bombers won the Grey Cup and ended up wearing, what did he win it for? Was it like 19 years or something like that? But you know what, I got to give the people what they want. The people are asking for one thing, so they're going to get it.
Triple M.
Put on your antlers. It's time for the Minook Moose Minute on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Yep, it's time. It's time to talk about those Manitoba Moose because we kind of don't have a choice, right?
Bruce is dying for a Colby Barlow scouting report.
Well, I don't know that I can give it a super in-depth one, but the fact of the matter is that the 2023 first rounder, again, that interview with him on our YouTube channel, he was, of course, assigned to the Moose from the Jets after his OHL season came to an end with Owen Sound. And, of course, Dylan Anhorn, he also was signed by the Manitoba Moose to an ATO for an AHL deal. He was, I think, a second-team All-American with St. Cloud State. He's a defenseman. And so alongside a guy Jets fans may know, Rutger McGroarty, we'll talk about Rutger maybe a little bit, Ezzy. But the fact is that a couple of young guys, as well as Connor Levis, who was playing with the Vancouver Giants, he was a 2023 seventh rounder. He also joined the Manitoba Moose this week. Colby Barlow was in for most of the week of practice. The Moose were off Monday and Tuesday after winning both those games last week against Chicago. And as they were getting ready for Iowa, they had practice Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So we saw Colby Barlow in the number 26 getting a chance to practice with the Moose. And you could just see him getting acclimatized. And he knew a lot of the guys, of course, from being here for training camp and development camp. But still, this is his first time, in a pro experience, now part of the pro camp after a 40-goal season in the OHL. Didn't get into the game on Saturday because it was an important game, and I'm not going to go through both games as, but ultimately, as we talked about a little bit this weekend, the Moose did tie up, or sorry, did win the first game 7-4, and then because Chicago lost on that game on Saturday night, the Moose were guaranteed a spot in the playoffs. The only question, Ezzy, is where. Now, they missed an opportunity because they were down 4-0 in the game on Sunday to Iowa. Ended up scoring 3 goals in the third period, so they almost came back. Couldn't quite get there. CJC scored the final game at home for this season. And then now they'll head out on the road. They'll start. The team was in Milwaukee today. I believe they went to a Brewers game, so that was kind of fun. And then they'll play the Milwaukee Admirals tomorrow. If they win, then they have a chance going up against Texas in the final two games of the regular season, Friday and Saturday, to earn themselves home ice advantage. If they lose any of the next three, then I believe they will not be able to catch Texas because Texas is 5 points up. So it was kind of a costly loss on Sunday
so
to
Dave,
Iowa.
They'll play Grand Rapids or Milwaukee in the first round, right?
No. So right now the Moose are in the fifth spot. They'll play Texas. It's like a play-in series. So basically the first, okay. The AHL is weird because there's so many, the Pacific has 10 teams. The Central has 7. So because
Since
of
when
that,
is Grand Rapids in the Central, by the way?
For a while.
That's new, isn't it?
No, they've been in the Central.
Grand Rapids?
Yeah. Cleveland used to be there as well. Then they moved Cleveland out. But anyway,
again, so, Dave, I just took a pretty big shot of fireball. So,
But anyways, so what's going to happen though? And look, I'll just be quick. But the Moose might be the Moose match up very well against Texas. And as it, folks know, Texas Stars are the farm team of the Dallas Stars. And they're not getting back Logan Stankoven, who's the leading scorer in the AHL. They may not get back Maverick Bourque. I don't know about that. So this sets itself up for a very good series against the Texas Stars, regardless of whether they're at home or on the road. So if the Moose can get in, and that's a best of three, Ezzy. So that if they're on the road, they'll stay in Texas for the two games this weekend. Then they'll stay and play practice in Texas and play that three-game series. If they manage to overtake them, then they'll bring it back home and they'll play three games here in Winnipeg. And that's basically to earn themselves a chance to play Milwaukee. Milwaukee, who had won 19 straight games, they'll have all their guys up with Nashville. So they're not going to get any help. They've been abysmal since that 19 game stretch. So it's lining itself up. If the Moose can get past Texas, they'll have an easier chance against Milwaukee. Then they'll be in tough, probably against Rockford, who I suspect will beat Grand Rapids. But my point is, folks, that the playoff hockey is coming to the AHL club of Manitoba. Hard-earned, well-deserved after going 0-10-1 in January to winning 20 of 32 with 2 shootout losses or 1 overtime loss, 1 shootout loss. So this team has risen from what we thought was the dead in last place in the AHL to where they are now. And like I said, with a chance to earn themselves home ice, that starts tomorrow in Milwaukee. We'll have it all covered. And lastly, you know, they gave out all their awards. Cal Capobianco, got to mention him as he's having a phenomenal season, his best ever in the AHL. He is leading all defensemen in scoring. I believe he's up to 52 points, 12 goals, and 40 assists. So he's having himself a hell of a good season. And Brad Lambert, he is just a couple points back of Sammy Niku for second of all time on the rookies points list. He's at 52 right now. So he's having a real good season. A lot of the Moose are, and Thomas Milich, of course, the 2023 fifth rounder of the Winnipeg Jets. He has been a big part of this turnaround in net. Woo, that was a long Minuk minute, Ezzy, but I think I'm done.
It was a good one, though.
I appreciate that. But I look, you know I'm done when Frosty has already given me the sponsors list. He's letting me know. He's like, listen, it's time. Like, it's time, Minuk. Ezzy's got to go to bed. You got to work.
Frosty's got to add a few sponsors there, right? We got to add City Place.
Yeah.
If you're just tuning in now or you're listening on the podcast and you don't already know, Illegal Curve Hockey is going to be at City Place for games 1 and games 2 and,
yeah,
if necessary, game 7 and all other home games. We're going to be at City Place by the food court for every single home playoff game. So it's going to be an absolutely huge party. We haven't even touched on this, but this is just so great for the city and the province, right?
Yeah.
To get home ice, but also just to be in the playoffs. We know we have the best fans in the world. And yeah, it's going to be pretty electric. So we can add City Place there and also add the Rady JCC dinner. We had Wendell Clark on Saturday's show. We're a media sponsor of the 50th annual Rady JCC dinner. We're going to be there May 28th at the Illegal Curve table for Wendell Clark, Grant Fuhr, and Dougie Gilmore.
Yes. Okay. So as I said, we were going to go, and then I saw someone have a question. So I'm going to let you get a quick thought on Rutger McGroarty. He chose to return to Michigan for his junior season. So he's going back for a third year. I know folks were concerned about it. Mike McIntyre of the Free Press wrote an extensive article. So you should definitely give that a read. And just to be clear, the Jets control his rights till August of 2026. So I don't think you have to be super concerned. If we're still talking about it next April, Ezzy, then no. There's maybe a little cause for concern.
He'll sign next year. I'm telling you right now, as the Jets outsider, as opposed to Dave M, who's the Moose insider, there's no reason to think that this is a Cutter Gauthier situation. Look,
right.
I'm a little bit surprised that he didn't sign, but a couple months back, Dave, we had Colby Cohen on the show, and we didn't even know. We've had Colby Cohen on the show before.
Yeah.
We didn't even know he was that close with the McGroarty family.
Right.
And Colby Cohen, because Rutger's dad coached Colby Cohen.
Yeah.
We should mention that for those who don't know what we're talking about here. Mm-hmm. But Colby Cohen mentioned that he wasn't really sure if Rutger McGroarty was going to sign after his career with the University of Michigan. Season with the University of Michigan was over. Right. Obviously, they lost in the Frozen Four. So I'm a little bit surprised. But I think the big thing to remember here is that Rutger McGroarty is all in. I know that's a marketing slogan for the Jets, but Rutger McGroarty wants to be a Winnipeg Jet. There's no indication that he doesn't want to sign with the Jets. I think he thought about it really hard, and he probably, you know, asked, you know, friends and family for some advice as well. But I mean, this is not a big deal at all, just because, you know, there was a chance that he was going to play for the Moose and he decided that he wants to play one more year with the University of Michigan. I think you would agree, Dave, that, you know, there's a better, much higher than 50% chance. I would put it at, you know, 75 to 90% that he's going to sign after his third year with the University of Michigan. There's no reason to think that he's going to spend 4 years there.
No.
So yeah, I'm surprised. I think a lot of people were surprised, but don't be that upset, or don't think that this means that he isn't going to sign. This is not a Cutter Gauthier situation. I think Rutger McGroarty, like you just talked about with Colby Barlow, those guys were having such a fun time, maybe more fun than any Jets prospects. And we've covered this team since they came back in 2011, Dave. Like, these guys are happy to be part of the organization and they want to be part of the organization. So look, Rutger has unfinished business. He wants to win an NCAA championship. He might end up winning the Hobie Baker Award. And has been talked about a lot. He'll most likely be captain because he wasn't captain this year.
Right.
Off the top of my head, I don't know who is the captain of University of Michigan. But yes, Frank Nazar did sign with Chicago, but different situation. It's apples and oranges. You can't look. I know people were, everybody wanted him to sign. Look, he wants to spend one more year at the University of Michigan and win a national championship. He's 20 years old. Like, let's just pump the brakes here for a second. He's going to sign with the Jets. It's just going to be a year from now. And he wasn't going to get into any NHL action here. He might have played for the Moose, but for him, obviously, it's more important for him to spend one more year and win a national championship with Michigan than getting that experience with the Moose. Like, that's the thing, right, Dave? It would have been nice. Like, Mark Morrison, Eric Dubois, they would have loved to have had Zinger. They would have loved to have had Rutger McGroarty for the playoff run for the Moose, but he had other plans. So you'd have to just accept that. And a year from now, we're going to be talking about Rutger signing his 3-year ELC, right, Dave?
There you go. The captain is Jacob Truscott, who is a Canucks fifth rounder from the 2020 draft. So there you go. There's the answer to the question, who is the captain of the Michigan Wolverines from Port Huron, Michigan. Okay, let's get back to the sponsors and thank them because they're a big part of why this show is able to happen. So a big thank you to all the sponsors of Illegal Curve who make the post-game show, the Saturday show, and the website illegalcurve.com a possibility. They are in no particular order. Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Grid Park, use code IllegalCurve to park for free. Linden Market Dental Center, Zappia Group Realty, Betway, Tough Duck, Seagram's, Rolly's Transfer, and Farmery Beer. Support these fine businesses because of their continued support of Illegal Curve Hockey. All right. It's been a action-packed and a long post-game show. So Ezzy and I are going to end post-game show 81 of the 23-24 season. Of course, illegalcurve.com is your site for all the latest Jets and Moose news. So that runs 24/7, as does our YouTube channel. So make sure you're subscribing to that. Make sure you smash that like button before you head home. Make sure maybe you're at home, but smash that like button wherever you are. And we thank you for joining us on, what is it, Ezzy? Tuesday night. And we will see you in 2 days for the season finale, regular season finale of the Legal Curve postgame show. And then we start off pregame shows, postgame shows, maybe
intermission shows.
Intermission shows. Who knows? But whatever it is, you'll be able to find it here on the Illegal Curve channel. So thanks very much for joining us. Have a good rest of your night, and we'll talk to you real soon.
Thanks for listening to this broadcast from Illegal Curve Hockey. For more great Illegal Curve content, subscribe to the Illegal Curve YouTube channel, follow at Illegal Curve on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and visit your online home for hockey in Winnipeg, illegalcurve.com.